Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Are you one of many Americans who are tired of people being bullied and discriminated? You are not alone. Bullying has a rippling effect on the person who is being harassed and everyone associated with the bullied person. The targeted adult or child may have been physically or psychologically bullied. They often bring home their anguish with them, and this can have a crippling effect on everyone associated with the one who's being bullied or discriminated. It's time to shed some light on how to reduce bullying in the school systems, how to create safe and healthy work environments for employees. I blow the whistle on how to protect yourself if you're being bullied and educate listeners on their rights if they're being bullied or discriminated. I bring in the best experts who provide empowering strategies, tips on resiliency, how to handle the experience of being bullied or discriminated, how to heal and overcome the effects of being mistreated. If you are ready to gain knowledge and insights on bullying and discrimination, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Hey, everybody, this is Dawn Westmoreland. I'm your host of the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Now, before I become a host, I have been friends with Kristen Walker. She is our guest today on the show. And I remember 4 or 5 years ago that she wanted to create a podcast around mental health. And I thought, well, how interesting. But before we go all into the different things that she's doing, I want to welcome her to the show. Hey, Kristen, how are you doing today?
Hey, Dawn, I'm doing great. I'm excited to be a guest on your show.
Yeah. So you've risen to be quite a very popular, respected person, expert around mental health. I want people to know more about you. Who is Kristen Walker?
Well, I'm still figuring that out myself, but I'm sure I'm happy to share what I know consciously up to this date.
Fair enough. Go for it.
Well, do you want me to talk more about the network, or are you asking for like a personal background?
Give a quick personal background and we'll get into the network, because we got a lot of podcasts and a lot of information to share. You are a big resource for people.
Yeah, definitely. Well, personal background, I'll give a very, very high, quick level of it. I'm a survivor of childhood sexual abuse at the hands of a parent, and a lot of mental illness ran rampant on both sides of my family. It's a generational thing. So, we're talking, if we did a genealogy chart on our family way back into the dark ages, you'd see mental illness probably all along the trail. And that prompted me to really profoundly care about my mental well-being and to take life as a journey towards not repeating some of the things that happened to me so that my own child didn't experience those things. It really put me on a path to caring so much about how do you practice self-care? How do you behave in a healthy way when all of your examples were so vastly unhealthy? And a lot of what got me to be okay in that arena was that my healthy parents as a kid were mental health professionals. Those were the people that modeled for me healthy behavior. I was really lucky with some of the therapists that I had that were just incredible human beings. And it led me to volunteer a lot in the mental health field. I did a lot of speaking and a lot of peer support around other kids who'd been abused as children. And later in my 40s, I decided to make a career out of working in the mental health field. I could not go to college because my mental health issues kept me from being able to study in a typical classroom style environment. In fact, I tested out of high school early because I just could not handle school. It didn't have anything to do with my smarts. It had to do with I just could not focus. So I had to go and work in this field in a different way. And, through a lot of consulting and technology work that I did very well in, that helped me fund getting into podcasting, which is a great, great, great fit for me. Technology, and I get to use my voice, and I get to inspire others to use their voice. So that's the quick and dirty synopsis.
And I love it. So, you know, I know a lot of people that are listening, and they're like, okay, what about bullying? What about discrimination? What about healing? What about resources? What is Mental Health News Radio Network about, Kristen?
It's about all those things you just said and more. I mean, definitely every person that has dealt with a mental health issue has been bullied in some way or another, because there's so much stigma surrounding mental health. And every person who has been bullied has mental health struggles, because that's what happens when you're bullied. You can become depressed, have anxiety, anxiousness, trauma. So those things go hand in hand. That's why I really wanted, you know, your show, The Empowered Whistleblower, to be on our network, because it fits so well in with what people that, you know, struggle to maintain mental wellness have to deal with, and also people who have been bullied have to deal with in order to maintain their mental health.
Oh, yeah, and that makes perfect sense. So I remember the day that you reached out to me and you said, I need a strong woman. I started laughing.
Yep.
But I'm so glad to be part of this network, because, you know, everyone on this network, and what are we up to? Is there 33 podcasters now?
Yeah, it's about 33. I hate to say this. I mean, I do run the company, but I have help, of course, and we just fine tune things as we go along. I have to be looking, like right now I'm looking at our show page, because I forget like how many people we
I know
have.
It's 33 or more. So yeah. So we have a group of people that really care about mental health. They care about people. What are these our podcasters doing out there, like, you know, speaking? How are they helping people?
Well, yeah, they're out there. They're all advocates in one way or another. Many of them still work in the healthcare field. So as an example, we have Dr. John Huber, who does mainstream mental health, and he's a forensic psychologist, and he does rounds, and he's working with people in the prison system and, you know, doing what forensic psychologists do. And he has a radio show. We have Dr. Leeds, who is a substance abuse, a doctor who works with people that are trying to, you know, come off of substances. So, and his show, The Rehab, and we have plenty of other people that, you know, work in the field of mental health. One of them, Adam Clark, is a pet grief and loss specialist, and he's also a social worker, so he's doing our show, The Animal Effect. There's just so many different kinds of people, and they're advocates first, then some of them have a career in this field as a coach or a counselor or a psychologist, a EMT, an animal person. I mean, it just runs the gamut in terms of what everyone does. And, you know, what they're doing, this is a part-time gig for them, also doing a podcast on top of it. But the goal for each of them is to try to get a message of hope out to as many people as possible.
Yeah, I agree. And I know personally that so many of us are doing it on our own time. We're staying up to midnight or getting up early in the morning. It may be coming out of our pocket. Some of us, you know, that some of the people further along might have sponsors. And of course, we're always looking for sponsors for the different shows or for Mental Health News Radio. You know what? Just switching up a little bit. I just got a message, and this won't surprise you one bit, Kristen, a private message, just a notification popped up talking about a certain company, you know, being just horrific to their people and such. So some of the shows that are on the network are about narcissism. Would you tell me your definition of narcissism? And let's just talk about that a little bit.
Sure, sure. Yeah, we do happen to have, I think our network has the largest group of shows devoted to narcissistic personality disorder in the world.
That's amazing.
And the reason, you know, I didn't design it to do that. It's just that it's an epidemic, and people that are abused by people that have this kind of a personality disorder are just screaming for help, because they're in trauma. They're being bullied. emotionally, psychologically, financially, physically, sexually. I mean, you know, it runs the gamut there. And there's narcissism, which we all have to some degree, and it's something we all have to watch out for, which is being extremely egotistical. And then there's another level of it that where it turns into a personality disorder. And this is someone who absolutely lacks empathy and who goes out of their way to blame other people for all of the horrific behaviors that they have. They have no insight or, and some of them do have awareness into how awful they behave, but they get enjoyment out of it. When it gets to that level of where they're, you know, wreaking havoc and trauma on other people is when, you know, you have like one narcissist, not just narcissist, someone with narcissistic personality disorder can damage thousands of people. Mm-hmm. So all the people in their lives are in therapy in order to deal with how they've been treated. And the one person that isn't in therapy is typically the one with the personality disorder.
I love how you brought that up. So yeah, you're talking about how it affects so many people, because let's say if one person is abused through narcissism, then it might affect their partner, their wife, their husband, their brother, their sister, their family. It might show up at their work, show up at their life. It might shut them down. They may commit suicide. I mean, you even have shows where people address suicide.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we address teenagers that are cutting, and you know, substance use is part of, you know, their teen years and how parents cope. And we have two hospitals now. McLean Hospital has an initiative called Deconstructing Stigma, and they interview all kinds of people about their different mental health issues. And that's an initiative they have where they take take pictures and do a story on each person. And those people's pictures are put up in Logan Airport. And these are people that are just, you know, everyday people like Joe Fusaro, who's mm-hmm. one of our podcasters. And then also Howie Mandel and Rick Springfield and, you know, just anyone. And these pictures or these posters or installations are up through the airport just to help make everyone realize that mental illness or mental health issues affect everyone. And it became such a popular initiative that it's now being done in other airports as well. And we're doing a podcast, you know, with them. So it, like I said, it runs the gamut in terms of who comes in. We're always looking for people that want to have a podcast and they want to focus on health and well-being. So that's something that, you know, I'm proud of, looking at all these shows and going, wow, think about the number of people that these people are affecting just by using their voice.
Yeah. And so many of the podcasters, you know, I know not everyone, but I mean, I know a lot of them, and I know that we're all in different places of healing. We've been traumatized by our past. Maybe we've been bullied. Maybe we've been discriminated. Maybe we've been our worst own bully. Do you feel like when they get out there, these podcasters get out there and they start sharing hope, inspiration, education, that there's more healing for them? And I know it is for others, but what about them?
Oh my gosh, this is what I tell everyone that gets started. And, you know, we have some people that are already podcasting and they just ask to be added to our network and they've already got an existing show. But with brand new podcasters, we have a talk and I tell them, you are going to have some serious growth. Get ready to evolve. Mm-hmm. Be prepared, because there is something about that mic and speaking your truth and knowing that it's going out all over the world. I mean, we're not just in the United States. We're global. My show is global. Your show is global. Everybody's show is a global show, whether you live in the U.S. or not. And some of our podcasters don't live in the United States. But that the fact that you get to interview people who wouldn't otherwise be people that you'd have a conversation with. So someone that you admire, and they wrote a book, or you saw them at a conference, or you, whatever it is, and there's a reason for you to spend an hour with that person, and that reason is your podcast. Mm-hmm. Imagine how many people you yourself are learning from by having this very focused, intense time recording your show and then sending that out for it to touch so many other people.
Yeah. Yeah. And since I've known you, I think almost 5 years, we both came from humble backgrounds, and I'll define humble backgrounds. We both been through a lot of trauma. I've been through sexual abuse. I've been through severe bullying. I've been in the mental health ward for, you know, extreme abuse. You've had to overcome some obstacles, like people, events and such. I remember you telling me, Kristen, and this was very personal, but that you had to overcome these people that said you can't be successful. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had plenty of people on my journey that have, you know, just blasted me, that as they were, as I was selling the heck out of their services to the degree that they'd never experienced that kind of success in their lives, and I was, you know, the one selling it to help them, also telling me that I'm worthless and that I can't do anything without them and so on. And, you know, even just starting this network, I had a very well-known, I don't know if he's very well-known, a somewhat well-known person in the addiction treatment field, and someone else. They were both in cahoots to try to take over this network and tell me that I don't have the mental faculties to run it. I mean, I've run into these kind of people again and again and again. And why? Well, I grew up with these kind of people. So that was my normal, you know, it was my normal.
Yeah.
And it's been a healing journey that's taken 48 years, and it'll continue to, you know, take it. It gets less traumatic each time. They don't stay as long, and they're not as bombastic every time I meet them. So that's a sign of growth on my part. But I always learn something from them. I learn a new wound. Oh, I didn't know that one was there. Okay, that person got in that way. That's something. I take the responsibility for whatever happens in my life. It's my life. Mm-hmm. So if somebody shows up and they're abusive, I always look for the lesson in it, because I'm not an obtuse person, and I don't lay the blame of everything at my feet like I used to. I definitely say, you got a problem, dude. And now I'm going to take your pile of whatever, and I'm going to make gold out of it, because I'm going to use what happened for my healing.
Love it.
So, you know, talk about taking, you know, lemons and turning them into lemonade.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a gift in ugly wrapping paper. I mean, I like to use that term a lot. It's a gift in ugly wrapping people when they tell you, well, you're just not good enough, you're not smart enough, or you're not pretty enough, or whatever. But you've overcome that. And I've seen your growth, because I've known you for a while. And I'm just like, wow. And you've had over 1 million listens to the network. That's just amazing. So I really salute you on that, Kristen.
Thank you. Thank you. It just makes me feel really good. It makes me feel humbled. The bigger it gets, the more humble I become. And if I was a narcissist, the bigger ego I would have about all of it.
Yeah, it's easy. I mean, it could easily go to your head when you become successful. And, you know, I was just having this conversation earlier this morning. Is, you know, when you get more successful, more popular, more known, more respected, the more you can help people. So you've stayed in your lane, and you have focused on the mental health. And again, you know, I commend you for that, and I celebrate you for that.
Thank you. Yeah, I love this. I love mental health. It's what I feel like my calling is. I want to be in this space that I'm in, supporting this. It's a life mission for me, and I want to be around people where this is a part of their life mission too. This is what I eat, breathe, and sleep. So, you know, I'm sure some people can find that quite annoying. Is that all she talks about? But my thing is this. You can't have health in any other way if you don't have your mental health. So it is really that important.
Yeah. So we both are, I know this about you, that we are both really firm believers in self-care. Talk about self-care and what it means to you.
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of our shows that's just starting out, Narcissist Survivor Radio, which is going to be, it's already super popular and she hasn't even aired yet. I've had her as a guest on my show a couple of times. And what's fascinating is we talked a lot about what it means to be an empath as opposed to a narcissist. And they're really two sides of the same coin. An empath is, a narcissist is someone who doesn't feel their emotions. They dump all that on everybody else around them and are completely unself-aware, where an empath evacuates themselves, their emotions, in order to feel everybody's emotions. So talk about a toxic combo that is. And I'd say for me with self-care, I went the road of, let me make my emotional needs, my physical needs, my sexual needs, all those things be as meager as possible, because I must make way for everyone else's needs. Everyone else is more mm-hmm. important than me. Mm-hmm. That was how I grew up. So for me to take this time in my life to have my own home that no one else with a heartbeat lives in this home but me.
Oh, wow. That's a good way to put it.
I may get a dog, but that's a joyous thing for me because I've always had dogs. But for now, it's just this, I'm learning to fill up my personal space with just me. Because I deserve to feel myself. I deserve to nurture myself. I deserve to take up my entire home with my heart and my emotional self and you know, fill up every corner of where I live with me. And not put that on the back seat for someone else. And doing that at 48, well, I wish I would have done it sooner, but that's my journey. I'm glad I'm doing it now. So that's a supreme act of self-care. At least it is for me.
Yeah. And thanks for sharing that. So I want to step back just a tiny bit, going back to what an empath is. I know what it is and you know what it is, but would you spell it out for our listeners what an empath is when you're talking about narcissism and the empath?
Sure. An empath is described as someone who is like a highly sensitive person, someone who feels other people's emotions, someone who is extremely caring and empathetic. Not just sympathetic, empathetic. It's not just that you, it's that you feel literally what other people are going through. So as an example, Dawn, let's say you're having a rough time and you call me, you and I are very close friends. That's going to affect me emotionally because I care about you and I'm going to feel some of what you're feeling because I care about you. That's what an empath does. That's kind of how we're made up. And you can either be kind of a doormat in that respect. Just because you're an empath does not mean you're some kind of saint. It means you got problems just like anybody else. But you learn how to be an empowered one, which means I love my friends, my family, whoever's in my life. I care about them emotionally. I feel some of their emotions, mm-hmm. but I also put up boundaries to where feeling their emotions does not wipe me out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing is you're setting healthy boundaries with people.
Yes.
Of what they're allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do. And I think that's very important for everybody to have. Yeah. Well, switching gears, because our subjects can be so heavy, so deep, and, you know, we have to let go and we have to, you know, lighten up the load and stuff. I know, let's talk about laughter and let's talk about lightening up, because let's talk about some funny things that have happened to you since you started this journey. And I'll start out telling you that my very, very first podcast, I forgot to take mute off. And so it ruined the whole podcast. And I'm like calling you, Kristen, oh, you know, that was, you know, that was my start. I remember when I was an Air Force recruiter in the Air Force, that I locked the keys in my vehicle the first day I started to become an Air Force recruiter. And, you know, I look back and I laugh at all this and I'm like, ah, ha, ha, you know, lighten up, Dawn, you know, but tell me some funny things that have happened since you started this network, or, you know, I mean, and you've been at it for a while. Any funny stories to share?
Yeah, because my favorite thing ever is to laugh. I mean, we do go to the bottom of the ocean when it comes to depth and authenticity and vulnerability. And so if we can't like laugh about the silliest things ever, I'll give one. I moved into this new place and this is just a silly thing, but this is, I need to be like profoundly silly sometimes because of the seriousness of what we do. So I have set up this gorgeous little space to have my perfect studio for podcasting. And I bought the most amazing office chair, ergonomically correct. It's perfect for my lumbar support, you know, because you're sitting when you're podcasting. And I live in a loft. I've never lived in a loft and my office is up in the loft. And I spend an hour and a half putting together this chair. I'm so excited to have this chair because I deserve to be, you know, all these things, whatever. I finish it and then I look and I look at the ladder that I have to climb up to get to the loft and I'm like, right. Probably should have taken the chair up in pieces and done it upstairs, not in my living room because I ain't never going to get that thing up those stairs. So that kind of stuff. Or that's being funny. On live, on Skype with a show that has 40, that's, you know, is listened to 42 million households and, you know, moving my head around a lot and thinking, oh, I'm doing so well. And then the production crew is telling me, please stop moving your head. Every time you move into the camera, we see every pore that you have on your face. And I'm like, yeah, that's on live TV. Fantastic.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, thanks for making me laugh. I know one thing that we have in common is that we both like Oprah because she's a powerful, yes, inspiring woman. And I'm sure everybody out there has somebody that they look up to. But let's talk about Oprah for a minute. I mean, you told me that you enjoy watching Oprah videos because,
oh, yeah. Why? Well, because, I mean, that was, well, I watched her, you know, as I was growing up. She's not that much older than I am, but I watched her in the early days, you know, when I was in high school, and long before I ever knew that I would be running a podcast network or doing anything even remotely like this. So she's had a profound impact on me because of who she is. But when I started to have the idea around doing this network, she really was the one person I could go to and look at and have as a mentor because she has a network in media. And she's made this decision somewhere along the line of her show that she was going to talk about spiritual things, uplifting things, positive things. You know, she made that decision and everyone told her, you're crazy. Your show's going to tank. It's not going to happen. When she started OWN, she got blasted. Oh, Oprah's first failure, da da da. And now it's, you know, the number, it's in the top 10 networks, you know, in television. So she's been a mentor for me, someone I can look and go, okay, she did it. I know I'm not Oprah and I'll never be Oprah, but she did it. I can do this too. I can do in my little small corner of the world, I can do this too.
Absolutely. And you're a Kristen Walker and nobody could be a Kristen Walker. And thank goodness, right? Yeah.
Oprah inspires. There were two of me. There would be a problem with the planet. And one of me is enough for a lot of people. Let me tell you.
I know. I always tell my mom, I'm sure. Well, actually, after I was born, you know, I was a little on the mischievous side as a child. And the doctor said, are you crazy to have more children? And my mom had three more children anyway. Well, what's next for you? What kind of projects are you working for work, not working for, but working with or looking at doing?
Well, I'm always looking for, you know, new podcasters, people that, you know, have that heart of advocacy and want to get out there and speak to the world. So I'm always looking for that. I love nurturing people on this journey. And we're looking at, you know, partnering possibly with a publishing company that works strictly in, you know, the mental health field, doing more and more conferences and events, helping our podcasters have sponsorships for their show. And just so listeners understand, all of these people are spending their own money, including Dawn, on producing, editing, the time it takes to post up shows, to get guests. It's a lot of work. So boy, do they deserve to have advertisers that they believe in get a commercial on their show. So please don't be irritated whenever you hear a commercial on any of these shows, because man, that helps, you know, at least get some of this expense reimbursed. So helping podcasters have that is a big deal. And then probably, you know, a lot more speaking and talking about being a female, you know, business leader. It's something I've always had a hard time saying, is that I'm a leader. I know that I am, but saying it seemed egotistical. And now with 2018 and women really having a voice, I'm like, no, damn it, I am a leader. And it's time for me to say that and not be, you know, not think that I'm being egotistical by saying it. Own it so that younger women can not even have to have second guess saying it, that they just know it and they're empowered by it and then they do it. So it's important for me to own that within myself and say it out loud. So those are, you know, some of the things that, you know, are on my trajectory.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I'm really so excited about, and you told me this would happen, you know, is all the people that I'm connecting with since I've become a podcaster, all these wonderful experts. And we could sit there and think, well, I'm an expert, you know, I'm an HR consultant on bullying and discrimination. But guess what? There are people out there that are really good as psychotherapists, and they only niche in mental health care for somebody who's been bullied. It's so important to get out there. And I know I'm not afraid to bring in people that are HR experts. They're going to have a different view and or a different take on something. And I think there's enough out there for everybody. I believe some people get scared and don't want to share, and they have that sense of lack. And I don't get that feeling with you.
No, gosh, no. I'm never going to be someone ever, ever, ever who says there is a pie. And if somebody takes a slice out of the pie, that's less pie for me. I just don't even operate that way. I know plenty of people who do. And those people are people that quickly are not attracted to me or our network, because that's not how any of us are. No, we have so many shows on narcissism, and yet none of those people are upset that I add more shows on narcissism, because all it's done is had people listen to other shows to get difference of opinions. It's boosted listenership for all of them. It hasn't taken away a darn thing. And part of that is because I'm the leader of this network, and that's where I live from. So, you know, I've worked in and out of thousands of companies as a consultant long before I did this. And I learned a lot working with all those CEOs, and the ones that were successful, they could look like a mess, but they were successful because they had that abundance mentality. Mm-hmm. And so I apply that, you know, I apply that here as well.
Yeah. So get that. So you and I often have personal conversations about manifesting things, or in my case, a lot of times I'll say I set the intention, and then the next thing is a door opens, you know, with our work. Talk about that. Let's say somebody out there, they're in a job that makes them miserable as hell, because they have a narcissistic boss or coworker that's not going to change, and somebody's not going to help them. I mean, what kind of guidance would you give, Kristen, about manifesting what they need?
Well, I would say therapy is a great place to go because even though I am so against any kind of victim shaming or blaming, that tends to be what our society does is, well, why are you in that situation? That helps no one, okay? Is there a place of empowerment that you can go to with, okay, why am I in this situation? That's your choice to do so. That is an empowering way to look at the situation. That's a great place to go, but it's never empowering to look at it like you've got some sort of deficit or awful thing about you and that you created this. That helps no one. So I would say go to therapy, coaching, whatever it is, and get some help from someone that can understand the situation, understand you and help you look at it differently and help you move towards getting out of it and getting a different job. There's always a way. You are never, ever, ever stuck. But you need help getting unstuck. When you're in the midst of trauma, that's part of why we talk about things like trauma bonds. It's very, very difficult to see your way out of a situation when you don't have help with a great guide.
Yeah, I definitely agree because we definitely understand having mental health support, a good mentor in our lives. So, how could somebody manifest what they need to move forward if they feel stuck? Because you're great at manifesting, and if anybody out there doesn't know what manifesting means, it's setting the intention, visualizing the outcome. I mean, it's a lot of ways to describe it, but what would you suggest, Kristen?
Well, I'm going to say the same thing. Therapy helps a lot.
Okay.
Therapy helps a lot. It just helps you. Look, there's a physical, our physiology is designed to protect us. And when you're in that situation and you're in trauma, your body is running on cortisol, which is a stress hormone. Your brain is building grooves, like think about train tracks in your brain, and they are getting laid down to be stuck in the trauma, which means that you only see one way to go, and that is into darkness. And speaking to other people, listening to podcasts that are inspiring, reading inspiring material, all of those things help you jump the track so that you can go towards the light. That's an important piece, an important part of getting to a place where you can manifest positive things. I mean, if someone asked me in the midst of my worst times working with a psychopath, think about positive thoughts and just, manifest, I would have been like, oh, go jump in a lake and never speak to me again. Because it just doesn't work like that. It's little steps, little things that you can do to help your brain go, I want to take a different path.
Yeah, I like that metaphor about the train tracks and such because our thoughts form our belief system, which form, what action we take next. Wow. You and I could talk on and on and on and on for hours. But wrapping up, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yeah, just think about, you matter. You can be a contributor to good things in the world, even if you're in a horrible situation. And digging deep and doing the work on yourself is such a gift. It's hard. It's very, very difficult. But what are you, I always say this to people, what are you going to do otherwise? Because you can watch TV until you're blue in the face. You can lay on your couch until the cows come home. There are 24 hours in a day. Some of that time is spent getting restful sleep, I hope. And if it isn't, you can get there again. But you've got all this time in a day. Why not spend even a smidge of it focused on something that's really good and nurturing for you because you deserve it.
Absolutely. So, personal investment, that's what I'm hearing, is invest in yourself. Yeah. So, how can listeners find you? How can they find Mental Health News Radio Network? How can they find the podcast?
anyone, if they don't want to type, they can go too much. They can go to mhnrnetwork.com. Right at the top of the page, you see the word shows, and then you'll get a nice long list of all these beautiful little thumbnails that you can hover over and see what all the different shows are. Or if you feel like typing, you can go to mentalhealthnewsradionetwork.com and it'll take you to the same place.
Mm-hmm. And so how would they find the different shows?
Same thing. Click on shows up at the top and boom, there they are. I'm looking at them right now and I'm like, wow, we've got a lot of shows.
Wow, I know. And so how can people, if they want to hire you for any kind of consulting with your background, speaking, what's the best way for somebody to contact you, Kristen?
Same thing. You can go to, you know, the website. There's a contact us that goes to myself and our program director, and just let us know what you need, or you can email info@mhnrnetwork.com and that'll come to myself and our program director also.
Okay, perfect. And so I thank you for coming on the show. I know we talk about very serious work. We work in it. It can be very heavy. It can keep us up at night, you know, being concerned about the people we take care of. But thanks for lightening up with me too. And, you know, and I want to say this in wrapping up is I want to thank each and every one of my peer podcasters, because I know how much time you put in, you know, to do the shows, to help people, to show the love, give the love to the people. I know that there's podcasters out there speaking, consulting, they have their own practices. To every one of them, you know, I am so glad you're doing it. And I celebrate each and every one of you. Kristen, you began this movement. Thank you. Thank you so much for doing this movement. I'm very glad to be part of this program, this network.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dawn.
Yes. To our listeners, stay tuned. Always stay empowered. No, you don't have to be a victim. I look forward to being with you in our next episode. Thank you for listening to the Empowered Whistleblower. As your host, I will continue to bring in the best experts to share their knowledge and empower our listeners. Nobody has to feel like a victim. There are solutions to bullying and discrimination. Everyone deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. All our future shows will offer practical guidance so that anyone can choose to stand up to bullying and discrimination. You deserve to be happy, and life is all about choices. I always welcome comments and suggestions for new shows. Please comment and share your ideas. And be sure to come back for more inspiration and empowerment. I am Dawn Marie Westmoreland signing off and wishing you much happiness and empowerment in your day.